This audio program is presented by Audible.com. Audible. Audio that speaks to you wherever you are.
Gildan Media presents Your Coach in a Box, affordable life-changing audio programs. No Excuses by Brian Tracy. Read by the author.
Introduction: The Miracle of Self-Discipline. Mark Twain said that there are 1,000 excuses for failure, but never a good reason. Why are some people more successful than others? Why do some people make more money, live happier lives, and accomplish much more in the same number of years than the great majority? What is the real secret of success? Often I begin a seminar with a little exercise. I ask the audience, how many people here would like to double their incomes? Almost everyone smiles and raises their hands. I then ask, how many people here would like to lose weight, get out of debt, achieve financial independence? Again, everyone smiles, some people cheer, and they all raise their hands. Then I say, wonderful, these are great goals that everyone has. We all want to make more money, spend more time with our families, be fit and trim, and achieve financial independence. Not only do we all want the same things, but we all know what we have to do to achieve them. And we all intend to do those things sometime. But before we get started, we decide that we need to take a little vacation to a wonderful fantasy place called Someday I'll. We say that, someday I'll read that book. Someday I'll start that exercise program. Someday I'll upgrade my skills and earn more money. Someday I'll get my finances under control and get out of debt. Someday I'll do all the things that I know I need to do to achieve all my goals. Someday. Probably 80% of the population lives on Someday I'll most of the time. They think and dream and fantasize about all the things they're going to do someday. And who are they surrounded by on Someday I'll? Other people on Someday I'll. And what is the chief topic of conversation on Someday I'll? Excuses. They all sit around and swap excuses for being on the island. Why are you here? They ask each other. And, not surprisingly, their excuses are largely the same. I didn't have a happy childhood. I didn't get a good education. I don't have any money. My boss is really critical. My marriage is no good. No one appreciates me. Or, the economy is terrible. They have come down with the disease of excusitis, which is invariably fatal to success. They all have good intentions, but as everyone knows, the road to hell is paved with good intentions. The first rule of success is simple. Vote yourself off the island. No more excuses. Do it or don't do it, but don't make excuses. Stop using your incredible brain to think up elaborate rationalizations and justifications for not taking action. Do something. Do anything. Get on with it. Repeat to yourself, if it's to be, it's up to me. Losers make excuses. Winners make progress. Now, how can you tell if your favorite excuse is valid or not? It's simple. Look around and ask, is there anyone else who has my same excuse who is successful anyway? When you ask this question, if you're honest, you'll have to admit that there are thousands and even millions of people who've had it far worse than you, who have gone on to do wonderful things with their lives. And what thousands and millions of other people have done, you can do as well, if you try. It's been said that if people put as much energy into achieving their goals as they spend making up excuses for failure, they would actually surprise themselves. But first, you have to vote yourself off the island. Very few people start off with many advantages. Personally, I did not graduate from high school. I worked at laboring jobs for several years. I had a limited education, limited skills, and a limited future. And then I began asking that question, why are some people more successful than others? This question changed my life. Over the years, I've read thousands of books and articles on the subjects of success and achievement. It seems that the reasons for these accomplishments have been discussed and written about for more than 2,000 years in every conceivable way. One quality that most philosophers, teachers, and experts agree on is the importance of self-discipline. Discipline is what you must have to resist the lure of excuses. It is self-discipline that enables you to vote yourself off the island. It is the key to a great life, and without it, no lasting success is possible. The development of self-discipline changed my life, and it will change yours as well. By continually demanding more from myself, I became successful in sales and then in management. I caught up on my schooling and took an MBA degree in my 30s, which required thousands of hours of determined study. I imported Suzuki vehicles into Canada before anyone else, set up 65 dealerships, and sold $25 million worth of the vehicles. And this is all after I had started with no knowledge of the industry. What I had, however, was the discipline and determination to learn what I needed to know, and then to apply and do what I needed to do. I got into real estate development with no knowledge or experience, applied the power of discipline, which was then backed by hundreds of hours of work and study. I then went on to build shopping centers, industrial parks, office buildings, and residential subdivisions. With self-discipline, I have built successful businesses in training, consulting, speaking, writing, recording, and distribution. My audio and video programs, books, seminars, and training programs have sold more than $500 million worth in 36 languages in 54 countries. Over the years, I've consulted for more than 1,000 companies and trained more than 5 million people in live seminars and talks. In every case, the practice of self-discipline has been essential to my success. I discovered that you can achieve almost any goal you set for yourself if you have the discipline to pay the price, to do what you need to do, and to never give up. So who should read this book? This book is written for ambitious, determined men and women who want to achieve everything that is possible for them in life. It is written for people who are hungry to do more, to have more, and to be more than they ever have been before. Perhaps the most important insight of all with regard to success is that to achieve greatly, you must become a different person. It is not the material things you accomplish or acquire that matter so much as it is the quality of the person that you must become to accomplish well above the average. The development of self-discipline is the high road that makes everything possible for you. This book will serve as your step-by-step guide to becoming a remarkable person who is capable of making remarkable achievements. A chance encounter reveals the reason for success. Some years ago, I was attending a conference in Washington, D.C. During the lunch break, I was eating at a nearby food fair. The area was crowded, so I sat down at the last open table by myself, even though it was a table for four. A few minutes later, an older gentleman and a younger woman who appeared to be his assistant came along, carrying trays of food and obviously looking for a place to sit. Having lots of room at my table, I immediately arose and invited the older gentleman to join me. He was hesitant, but I insisted. Finally, he sat down quite thankfully, and we began to chat over lunch. It turned out that his name was Cop Kopmeyer. As it happened, I immediately knew who he was. He was a legend in the field of success and achievement. Cop Kopmeyer had written four best-selling books, each of which contained 250 success principles that he had derived from more than 50 years of research and study. I had read all four books from cover to cover, each more than once. After we had chatted for a while, I asked him the question that many people in this situation would ask. Of all the 1,000 success principles that you have discovered, which do you think is the most important? He smiled at me with a twinkle in his eye, as if he had been asked this question many times, and he replied without hesitating. The most important success principle of all was stated by Albert Hubbard, one of the most prolific writers in American history, at the beginning of the 20th century. He said, "Self-discipline is the ability to do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not." He went on to say, "There are 999 other success principles that I have found in my reading and experience. But without self-discipline, none of them work. With self-discipline, they all work." Thus, self-discipline is the key to personal greatness. It's the magic quality that opens all doors for you and makes everything else possible. With self-discipline, the average person can rise as far and as fast as his talents and intelligence can take him. But without self-discipline, a person with every blessing of background, education, and opportunity will seldom rise above mediocrity. Your two worst enemies. Just as self-discipline is the key to success, the lack of self-discipline is the major cause of failure, frustration, underachievement, and unhappiness in life. It causes us to make excuses and sell ourselves short. Perhaps the two biggest enemies of success, happiness, and personal fulfillment are first, the path of least resistance, and second, the expediency factor. The path of least resistance is what causes people to take the easy way in almost every situation. They seek shortcuts to everything. They arrive at work at the last minute and leave at the first opportunity. They look for get-rich-quick schemes and easy money. Over time, they develop the habit of always seeking an easier, faster way to get the things they want, rather than doing what is hard but necessary to achieve real success. The expediency factor, which is an extension of the law of least resistance, is even worse when leading people to failure and underachievement. This principle says, people invariably seek the fastest and easiest way to get the things they want right now, with little or no concern for the long-term consequences of their behaviors. In other words, most people do what is expedient, what is fun and easy, rather than what is necessary for success. Every day, and every minute of every day, there's a battle going on inside of you between doing what is right, hard, and necessary, like the angel on one shoulder, or doing what is fun, easy, and of little or no value, like the devil on your other shoulder. Every minute of every day, you must fight and win this battle with the expediency factor and resist the pull of the path of least resistance if you truly desire to become everything you are capable of becoming. Take control of yourself. Another definition of self-discipline is self-mastery. Success is only possible when you can master your own emotions, appetites, and inclinations. People who lack the ability to master their appetites become weak and dissolute, as well as unreliable in other things as well. Self-discipline can also be defined as self-control. Your ability to control yourself and your actions, control what you say and do, and ensure that your behaviors are consistent with your long-term goals and objectives is the mark of the superior person. Discipline has been defined as self-denial. This requires that you deny yourself the easy pleasures, the temptations that lead so many people astray, and instead discipline yourself to do only those things that you know are right for the long term and appropriate for the moment. Self-discipline requires delayed gratification, the ability to put off satisfaction in the short term in order to enjoy greater rewards in the long term. Think long term. Sociologist Dr. Edward Banfield of Harvard University conducted a 50-year study into the reasons for upward socioeconomic mobility in America. He concluded that the most important single attribute of people who achieved great success in life was long-time perspective. Banfield defined time perspective as the amount of time an individual takes into consideration when determining his present actions. In other words, the most successful people are long-term thinkers. They look into the future as far as they can to determine the kind of people they want to become and the goals they want to achieve. They then come back to the present and determine the things that they will have to do or not do to achieve their desired futures. This practice of long-term thinking applies to work, career, marriage, relationships, money, and personal conduct, each of which is covered in the pages ahead. Successful people make sure that everything they do in the short term is consistent with where they want to end up in the long term. They practice self-discipline at all times. Perhaps the most important word in long-term thinking is sacrifice. Superior people have the ability throughout their lives to make sacrifices in the short term, both large and small, so as to assure greater results and rewards in the long term. You see this willingness to sacrifice in people who spend many hours and even years preparing, studying, and upgrading their skills to make themselves more valuable so that they can have a better life in the future, rather than spending most of their time socializing and having fun in the present. Longfellow once wrote, "Those heights by great men won and kept were not achieved by sudden flight, but they, while their companions slept, were toiling upward in the night." Your ability to think, plan, and work hard in the short term, and to discipline yourself to do what is right and necessary before you do what is fun and easy, is the key to creating a wonderful life for yourself. Your ability to think long-term is a developed skill. As you get better at it, you become more able to predict with increasing accuracy what is likely to happen to you in the future as the result of your actions in the present. This is a quality of the superior thinker. Short-term gain can cause long-term pain. There are two laws that you fall victim to when you fail to practice self-discipline. The first is called the law of unintended consequences. This law states that the unintended consequences of an action can be far worse than the intended consequences of that behavior because of a lack of long-term thinking. The second law is the law of perverse consequences, which says that a short-term action aimed at immediate gratification can lead to perverse or the opposite consequences from those at which it was aimed. For example, you might make an investment of time, money, or emotion with the desire and intent to be better off and happier as a result. But because you acted without carefully thinking or doing your homework, the consequences of your behavior turned out to be far worse than if you had done nothing at all. Every person has had this experience, and usually more than once. The common denominator of success. Herbert Gray, a businessman, conducted a long-term study searching for what he called the common denominator of success. After 11 years, he finally concluded that the common denominator of success was that successful people make a habit of doing the things that unsuccessful people don't like to do. And what were these things? It turned out that the things that successful people don't like to do are the same things that failures don't like to do either. But successful people do them anyway because they know that this is the price they will have to pay if they want to enjoy greater success and rewards in the future. What Gray found was that successful people are more concerned with pleasing results, whereas failures were more concerned about pleasing methods. Successful, happy people were more concerned with the positive, long-term consequences of their behaviors, whereas unsuccessful people were more concerned with personal enjoyment and immediate gratification. Motivational speaker Dennis Waitley has said that the top people were those who were more concerned with activities that were goal-achieving, whereas average people were more concerned with activities that were tension-relieving. Dinner before dessert. The simplest rule in the practice of self-discipline is to eat dinner before dessert. In a meal, there is a logical order of dishes, and dessert comes last. First, you eat the main courses and clean your plate. Only then do you have dessert. There's a cute but misleading bumper sticker that says, "Life is short, eat dessert first." Just think about what would happen if you came home from work and instead of eating a healthy dinner, you ate a large piece of apple pie with ice cream. What kind of appetite for healthy, nutritious food would you have afterward? With all that sugar in your stomach, how would you feel? Would you feel re-energized and eager to do something productive? Or would you feel tired and sluggish and ready to write off the day as largely finished? You get the same result when you go for a drink or two after work and then come home and turn on the television. These are simply different forms of dessert that largely eliminate your ability to do anything useful for the rest of the evening. Perhaps the worst part of all is that whatever you do repeatedly soon becomes a habit, and a habit, once formed, is hard to break. The habit of taking the easy way, of doing what is fun and enjoyable, or eating dessert before dinner, becomes stronger and stronger, and it leads inevitably to personal weakness, underachievement, and failure. The habit of self-discipline. Fortunately, you can develop the habit of self-discipline. The regular practice of disciplining yourself to do what you should do, when you should do it, whether you feel like it or not, becomes stronger and stronger as you practice it. You simply refuse to make excuses. Bad habits are easy to form, but hard to live with. Good habits are hard to form, but easy to live with. And, as Goethe said, everything is hard before it's easy. It's hard to form the habits of self-discipline, self-mastery, and self-control, but once you've developed them, they become automatic and easy to practice. When the habits of self-discipline are firmly entrenched in your behavior, you start to feel uncomfortable when you're not behaving in a self-disciplined manner. The best news is that all habits are learnable. You can learn any habit you need to learn in order to become the kind of person that you want to become. you can become an excellent person by practicing self-discipline whenever it's called for. Every practice of self-discipline strengthens every other discipline. Unfortunately, every weakness in discipline weakens your other disciplines as well. To develop the habit of self-discipline, you first make a firm decision about how you will behave in a particular area of activity. You then refuse to allow exceptions until the habit of self-discipline in that area is firmly established. Each time you slip, as you will, you resolve once again to keep practicing self-discipline until it becomes easier for you to behave in a disciplined way than to behave in an undisciplined way. The big payoff. The payoff for developing high levels of self-discipline is extraordinary. There is a direct relationship between self-discipline and self-esteem. The more you practice self-mastery and self-control, the more you like and value yourself. The more you discipline yourself, the greater is your sense of self-respect and personal pride. The more you practice self-discipline, the better is your self-image. You see yourself and think about yourself in a more positive way. You feel happier and more powerful as a person. The development and maintenance of the habit of self-discipline is a lifelong task, an ongoing battle. It never ends. The temptation to follow the path of least resistance and the expediency factor lurk continually in the back of your mind. They are always waiting for an opportunity to pounce, to lead you astray into doing what is fun, easy, and unimportant, rather than what is hard, necessary, and life-enhancing. Napoleon Hill concluded his best-selling book of the same name by saying that self-discipline is the master key to riches. Self-discipline is the key to self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. The development of self-discipline is your guarantee that you will eventually overcome all your obstacles and create a wonderful life for yourself. The ability to practice self-discipline is the real reason why some people are more successful and happy than others. How this book is written. In the pages ahead, I will describe the 21 areas in life in which the practice of self-discipline is vital to fulfilling your full potential and achieving everything that is possible for you. This book is divided into 3 sections for greater ease of use. Part 1 is entitled Self-Discipline and Personal Success. In these 7 chapters, you will learn how to release more and more of your personal potential by practicing self-discipline in every area of your personal life, including setting goals, building character, accepting responsibility, developing courage, and backing everything you do with persistence and determination. In the 7 chapters of Part 2, you will learn how to achieve vastly more than ever before in the areas of business, sales, and personal finance. You learn why and how self-discipline is essential to becoming a leader in your field, to operating a business more profitably, to making more sales, investing more intelligently, and managing your time for maximum results. Finally, in the 7 chapters of Part 3, you will learn how to apply the miracle of self-discipline to your personal life. You will learn how to practice self-discipline in the areas of happiness, health, fitness, marriage, children, friendship, and the attainment of peace of mind. You will learn how to enhance the quality of your life and your relationships in every area. In each chapter, I will show you how you can incorporate higher levels of self-discipline and self-mastery into everything you do. In the pages ahead, you will learn how to take complete control over your own personal and professional development and how to become a stronger, happier, more self-confident person in every area of your life that is important to you. You will learn how to break old habits that may be holding you back and how to develop the habits of self-reliance, self-determination, and self-discipline that will enable you to set and achieve any goal. You'll learn how to take complete control over your mind, your emotions, and your future. When you master the power of self-discipline, you will become unstoppable, like a force of nature. You will never make excuses for not making progress. You will accomplish more in the next few months and years than most people accomplish in a lifetime. Part 1. Self-Discipline and Personal Success. Your success in life depends more on the person you become than on the things you do or acquire. As Aristotle wrote, the ultimate end of life is the development of character. In these chapters, you will learn how to develop and use discipline in order to become an excellent person. You'll learn how to develop greater self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. You will learn the essential disciplines required for personal greatness and how to build them into your own character and personality. Chapter 1. Self-Discipline and Success. Plato wrote, "The first and best victory is to conquer self." Why do some people accomplish so much more in their personal and professional lives than others? This question has occupied some of the very best minds throughout human history. More than 2,300 years ago, Aristotle wrote that the ultimate aim of human life is to be happy. He said that the great question that each of us must answer is, how shall we live in order to be happy? Your ability to ask and answer that question correctly for yourself, and then to follow where your answer leads you, will largely determine whether you achieve your own happiness and how soon. Begin with your own personal definition. How do you define success? If you could wave a magic wand and make your life perfect in every way, what would it look like? Describe your ideal life. If your business, work, and career were ideal in every way, what would they look like? What would you be doing? What sort of a company would you work for? What position would you have? How much money would you earn? What kind of people would you work with, and especially, what would you need to do more or less of to create your perfect career? If your family life were perfect in every way, what would it look like? Where would you live, and how would you be living? What kind of a lifestyle would you have? What sort of things would you want to have and do with the members of your family? If you had no limitations, and you could wave a magic wand, in what ways would you change your family life today? If your health were perfect, how would you describe it? How would you feel? How much would you weigh? How would your levels of health and fitness be different from what they are today? Most of all, what steps could you take immediately to begin moving toward your ideal levels of health and energy? If your financial situation were ideal, how much would you have in the bank? How much would you be earning each month and each year from your investments? If you had enough money so that you never had to worry about finances again, how much would that be? And what steps could you take starting today to create your ideal financial life? Do your own thing. A popular definition of success is being able to live your life in your own way, doing only those things that you want to do with the people who you choose in the situations you desire. In each case, when you begin to define what success means to you, you can immediately see things that you should be doing more of or less of in order to begin creating your ideal life. And the biggest thing that holds you back from moving in the direction of your dreams is usually a lack of self-discipline and your favorite excuses. It's not that you don't know what to do, but rather that you don't have the discipline to make yourself do what you should do, whether you feel like it or not. Join the top 20%. In our society, the top 20% of people earn 80% of the money and enjoy 80% of the riches and rewards. This Pareto principle has been proven over and over again since it was first formulated in 1895 by Vilfredo Pareto. Your first goal in your career should be to get into the top 20% in your chosen field. In the 21st century, there's a premium on knowledge and skill. The more knowledge you acquire and the greater skill that you apply, the more competent and valuable you become. As you get better at what you do, your income earning ability increases like compound interest. Unfortunately, the majority of people, the bottom 80%, make little or no effort to upgrade their skills. Most people, according to Jeffrey Colvin's 2009 book, Talent is Overrated, learn their jobs in the first year of their employment, and then they never get any better. It is only the top people in every field who are committed to continuous improvement. Because of this increasing disparity of productive ability, based on knowledge, skill, and hard work, the top 1% of people in America today control as much as 33% of the financial assets. Starting with nothing. Interestingly, almost everyone starts out the same in life with little or nothing. Almost all fortunes in America and worldwide are first generation. This means that most individuals started with little or nothing and earn everything they own in their current lifetime. The wealthiest people in America are almost all first-generation multi-billionaires. This is the case with wealthy Americans such as Bill Gates, Warren Buffett, Larry Ellison, Michael Dell, and Paul Allen. Fully 80% of millionaires and multimillionaires started with little money, often penniless and sometimes deeply in debt, with few advantages, such as Sam Walton, who died worth more than $100 billion. Why have these people been able to achieve so much when so many have achieved so little? In their book, The Millionaire Next Door, Thomas Stanley and William Danko interviewed more than 500 millionaires and surveyed 11,000 more over a 25-year period. They asked them why they felt they had been able to achieve financial independence when most of the people around them who started at the same place were still struggling. Fully 85% of this new generation of millionaires replied by saying something like, "I didn't have a better education or more intelligence, but I was willing to work harder than anyone else." Hard work is the key. The indispensable requirement for hard work is self-discipline. Success is only possible when you can overcome the natural tendency to cut corners and take the easy way. Lasting success is only possible when you can discipline yourself to work hard for a long, long time. As I mentioned in the introduction, I started my own life with no money or advantages. For years, I worked at laboring jobs, at which I earned just enough to get from paycheck to paycheck. I stumbled into sales when I could no longer find a laboring job, where I spun my wheels for many months before I begin asking that question, why is it that some people are more successful in selling than others? One day, a top salesman told me that the top 20% of salespeople earn 80% of the money. I had never heard that rule before. This meant that the bottom 80% of salespeople had to be satisfied with the remaining 20%, with what was left over after the top people had taken the lion's share. I decided then and there that I was going to be in the top 20%, and this decision changed my life. The Great Law. Then I learned the Iron Law of the Universe, which made getting into the top 20% possible. It was the law of cause and effect, or sowing and reaping. This law says that for every effect there is a specific cause or series of causes. This law says that if you want to achieve success in any area, you must determine how success is achieved in that area and then practice those skills and activities repeatedly until you achieve the same results. Here's the rule. If you do what other successful people do over and over again, nothing can stop you from eventually enjoying the same rewards that they do. But if you don't do what successful people do, nothing can help you. The law of sowing and reaping from the Old Testament is a variation of the law of cause and effect. It says that, "Whatsoever a man soweth, that also shall he reap." This law says that whatever you put in, you get out. It also says that whatever you are reaping today is a result of what you have sown in the past. So if you're not happy with your current crop, it's up to you starting today to plant a new crop, to begin doing more of those things that lead to success, and to stop engaging in those activities that lead nowhere. Success is predictable. Success is not an accident. Sadly, failure is not an accident either. You succeed when you do what other successful people do over and over until these behaviors become a habit. Likewise, you fail if you don't do what successful people do. In either case, nature is neutral. Nature does not take sides. Nature doesn't care. What happens to you is simply a matter of law, the law of cause and effect. You can look at yourself as a machine with a default mechanism. Your default mechanism is the almost irresistible attraction of the expediency factor and the path of least resistance that I described in the introduction. In the absence of self-discipline, your default mechanism goes off automatically. This is the main cause of underachievement and the failure to realize your true potential. When you are not working deliberately, consciously, and continuously to do, be, and have those things that constitute success for you, your default mechanism is at work. You end up doing those fun, easy, and low-value things in the short term that lead to frustration, financial worries, and failure in the long term. The great oil man, H.L. Hunt, who was at one time the richest self-made billionaire in the world, was once asked by a television journalist for his secrets of success. He replied, "There are only three requirements for success. First, decide exactly what it is you want in life. Second, determine the price that you're going to have to pay to get the things you want. And third, and this is most important, resolve to pay that price." One of the most important requirements for success, once you have decided what it is that you want, is the quality of willingness. Successful people are willing to pay the price, whatever it is and for as long as it takes, until they achieve the results they desire. Everyone wants to be successful. Everyone wants to be healthy, happy, thin, and rich. But most people are not willing to pay the price. Occasionally, they may be willing to pay part of the price, but they're not willing to pay the whole price. They always hold back. They always have some excuse or rationalization for not disciplining themselves to do everything that they need to do to achieve their goals. Pay the price. How can you tell when you have paid the full price of success? It's simple. Look around you. There it is. You can always tell how much of the price of success you have paid by looking at your current lifestyle and your bank account. By the law of correspondence, your outer world will, like a mirror, always reflect the person you are and the price that you have paid on the inside. There's an interesting point about the price of success. It must always be paid in full and in advance. Success, however you define it, is not like a restaurant where you pay after you've enjoyed your meal. Instead, it's like a cafeteria where you can choose whatever you want, but you must pay for it before you eat it. Motivational speaker Zig Ziglar says, "The elevator to success is out of order, but the stairs are always open." Learn from the experts. Cop Kopmeyer, who I mentioned in the introduction, also told me that the second most important success principle, after self-discipline, is that you must learn from the experts. He said, "You will never live long enough to learn it all for yourself. If you want to be successful, your first job is to learn what you need to learn in order to achieve the success you desire. Learn from the experts. Read their books. Listen to their audio programs. Attend their seminars. Write to them or approach them directly and ask for advice. Sometimes one idea is all you need to change the direction of your life." Let me give you an example of what I mean. Some years ago, I was referred by a friend to an excellent dentist. I learned later that he had a superb reputation. He was called the dentist's dentist. He was the dentist that the other dentists went to when they needed excellent dental work. He told me that he attended every major dental conference that he could. When he was there, he attended every session, listening to dentists from all over the country and all over the world discuss the latest breakthroughs in dental technology. One week, at great sacrifice in time and money, he attended an international dental conference in Hong Kong. At that conference, he sat in on a session given by a Japanese dentist who had discovered a new technology in cosmetic surgery that improved the appearance of teeth and enabled people to look handsome or beautiful indefinitely. He returned to San Diego and immediately began using the new technique in his practice. Soon, he became excellent in this area and developed a national reputation. Within a couple of years, people were coming to him from all over southwestern United States for this treatment. Because he had developed this expertise, he could raise his fees again and again. Eventually, he had made so much money that he was able to retire at the age of 55, financially independent, and able to spend the rest of his life with his family, traveling and fulfilling his dreams. The point of this story is that by continually seeking out ideas and advice from other experts in his field, he came across a new technology that helped him become the leader in his field and saved him 10 years of hard work in order to achieve the same level of financial success. This could happen to you as well, but only if you become a lifelong student of your craft. Mental and physical fitness need to be ongoing. Achieving success is like achieving physical fitness. It is like bathing, brushing your teeth, and eating. It is something that you need to do continuously every day. Once you begin, you never stop until your life and career are over and you've achieved all the success you desire. Not long ago, I was giving a seminar in Seattle. Just before the break, I encouraged people to buy and listen to my audio programs on sales, time management, and personal success. At the break, several people came up to me to ask me questions about the seminar content. One salesman pushed his way forward and said loudly, "When you encourage people to buy your programs, you should tell them the whole truth." I asked, "How do you mean?" He went on to say, "You are not telling the whole truth about your programs. You should tell people that they only work for a certain period of time, and then they stop working." Again, I asked him, "How do you mean?" He said, "Well, I came to your seminar about 5 years ago, and I was completely convinced by your presentation. I bought all your programs and began listening to them. I read every day in sales, and you were right. Over the next 3 years, I tripled my income and became the top seller in my company. But then, my income flattened out and has not increased at all over the last 2 years. The fact is that your materials stop working after a certain point." I then asked him, in front of all these other people, "What happened to you 2 years ago when your income flattened out and stopped increasing?" He searched his memory, thought for a while, and said, "Well, I was selling so much that I was hired away by another company. Ever since I started my new job, my income has remained flat." I asked him, "What did you do differently in your new job in comparison with your previous job?" He started to answer, and then he stopped. A shocked look came over his face. Finally, he replied, "Oh my gosh, I stopped doing it. When I changed jobs, I stopped reading in sales. I stopped listening to audio programs. I stopped attending seminars. I stopped doing it." He walked away, shaking his head, muttering to himself, "I stopped doing it. I stopped doing it. I stopped doing it." Becoming an expert in your field, continually upgrading your skills, which I will talk about in Chapter 5, is like physical fitness. If you stop exercising for any period of time, you don't maintain your fitness at the same level. You begin to decline. Your body and your muscles become softer and weaker. You lose your strength, flexibility, and stamina. In order to maintain them, you must keep working at them every day, every week, and every month. Become all you can be. There's an even more important reason for you to practice the self-discipline that leads onward and upward to the great successes that are possible for you. The practice of self-discipline enables you to change your character, to become a stronger and better person. The exercise of self-discipline has a powerful effect on your mind and emotions, developing you into a different person from the one that you would have been without self-discipline. Imagine yourself in a chemistry lab. You mix a series of chemicals in a Petri dish and put it over a Bunsen burner. The Bunsen burner heats the chemicals to the point at which they crystallize and become hardened. But once you've crystallized these chemicals using intense heat, they cannot be transformed back into liquid form. In the same way, your personality begins like a liquid, soft, fluid, and formless. But as you apply the heat of self-discipline, as you exert yourself to do what is hard and necessary, rather than what is fun and easy, your personality crystallizes and hardens at a higher level as well. The greatest benefit you enjoy from exerting self-discipline in the pursuit of your goals is that you become a different person. You become stronger and more resolute. You develop greater self-control and determination. You actually shape and strengthen your personality and transform yourself into a better person. The rule is that to become someone that you have never been before, you must do something that you have never done before. This means that to develop a superior character, you must exert ever higher levels of self-discipline and self-mastery on yourself. You must do the things that average people don't like to do. Another success principle is that to achieve something that you've never achieved before, you must learn and practice qualities and skills that you've never had before. By practicing self-discipline, you become a new person. You become better, stronger, and more clearly defined. You develop higher levels of self-esteem, self-respect, and personal pride. You move yourself up the ladder of human evolution and become a person of higher character and resolve. Success is its own reward. The wonderful thing about the achievement of success is that every step in that direction is rewarding in itself. Each step you take toward becoming a better person and accomplishing more than you ever have before makes you feel happier, more confident, and more fulfilled. You've heard it said that nothing succeeds like success. What this means is that the greatest reward of success is not the money you make, but rather the excellent person you become in the process of striving toward success and exerting self-discipline every time it's required. In the next chapter, I will explain to you how you can become the truly excellent person you are capable of becoming. Now, here are some action exercises. Take out a pen right now and write down your answers to the questions below. 1. If your work life and career were ideal, what would they look like? What one discipline could you develop that would help you to achieve it? 2. If your family life were ideal, what would it look like? And what one discipline would help you the very most to make it a reality? 3. If your health were perfect in every way, what discipline would you have that would make that possible? 4. If your financial situation were ideal today, what one discipline would you have that would help you the most? 5. Why aren't you already as successful as you would like to be? And what one discipline would help you the most to achieve all your goals? 6. What one skill could you develop that would help you to realize more of your goals? And 7. If you could wave a magic wand and be completely disciplined in any one area, which one discipline would have the greatest positive impact on your life? Chapter 2. Self-Discipline and Character. Henry Ward Beecher wrote, "Hold yourself responsible for a higher standard than anyone else expects of you. Never excuse yourself. Never pity yourself. Be a hard master to yourself and be lenient to everyone else." The development of character is the great business of life. Your ability to develop a reputation as a person of character and honor is the highest achievement of both social and business life. Ralph Waldo Emerson wrote, "What you do speaks so loudly that I cannot hear a word you say." The person you are today, your innermost character, is the sum total of all your choices and decisions in life up to this date. Each time you have chosen rightly and acted consistently with the very best that you know, you have strengthened your character and become a better person. The reverse is also true. Each time you have compromised, taken the easy way, or behaved in a manner inconsistent with what you knew to be right, you have weakened your character and softened your personality. The great virtues. There are a series of virtues or values that are usually possessed by a person of character. These are courage, compassion, generosity, temperance, persistence, and friendliness, among others. We'll talk about some of these in part 3 of this book. Coming before all these values, however, is the most important one of all when determining the depth and strength of your character. Integrity. It is your level of integrity, living in complete truth with yourself and others, that demonstrates more than anything else the quality of your character. In a way, integrity is actually the value that guarantees all the other values. When your level of integrity is higher, you are more honest with yourself and more likely to live consistently with all the other values that you admire and respect. However, it takes tremendous self-discipline to become a person of character. It takes considerable willpower to always do the right thing in every situation. And it takes both self-discipline and willpower to resist the temptation to cut corners, to take the easy way, or to act for short-term advantage. All of life is a test to see what you are really made of deep down inside. Wisdom can be developed in private through study and reflection, but character can only be developed in the give and take of daily life, when you are forced to choose and decide among alternatives and temptations. The test of character. It is only when you are under pressure, when you are forced to choose one way or another to either live consistently with a value or to compromise it, that you demonstrate your true character. Emerson also said, "Guard your integrity as a sacred thing. Nothing at last is sacred except the integrity of your own mind." You are a choosing organism. You are constantly making choices one way or the other. Every choice you make is a statement about your true values and priorities. At each moment, you choose what is more important or of higher value to you over what is less important or of lesser value. The only bulwark against temptation, the path of least resistance, and the expediency factor is character. The only way you can develop your full character is by exerting your willpower in every situation when you are tempted to do what is easy and expedient rather than what is correct and necessary. The big payoff. The payoff for becoming a person of character, for exercising your willpower and self-discipline to live consistently with the very best that you know, is tremendous. When you choose the higher value over the lower, the more difficult over the easy, the right over the wrong, you feel good about yourself. Your self-esteem increases. You like and respect yourself more. You have a greater sense of personal pride. In addition to feeling excellent about yourself when you behave with character, you also earn the respect and esteem of all the people around you. They will look up to you and admire you. Doors will be opened for you. People will help you. You'll be paid more, promoted faster, and given even greater responsibilities. As you become a person of honor and character, opportunities will appear all around you. On the other hand, you can have all the intelligence, talent, and ability in the world, but if people do not trust you, you will never get ahead. People will not hire you, and if they do, they will dehire you as soon as possible. Financial institutions will not lend you money. Because birds of a feather flock together, the only associates, never friends, you will ever have will be other people of questionable character. Furthermore, since the people you associate with have a major effect on your attitude and personality, you make or break your entire life with the quality of your character or the lack thereof. The development of character. Aristotle wrote, "All advancement in society begins with the development of the character of the young." This means that advancement in your life begins with the learning and practice of values. You learn values in one or all of three ways: instruction, study, and practice. Let's look at each of these more closely. Teach your children values. One of the chief roles of parenting is to teach children values. This requires patient instruction and explaining values to them over and over again as they are growing up. Once is never enough. The value and the importance of living by that value must be explained. Parents must not only give illustrations, but also contrast the adherence to a value, especially that of telling the truth, with its opposite, that of lying or telling half-truths. Children are very susceptible to the lessons they receive from the important people in their lives as they are growing up. They accept what you say as their parent as a fact, as absolute truth. They absorb what you say like a sponge. You write your description of values on their souls, which are like wet clay, so that what you write becomes a permanent part of the way they see the world and relate to life. More than anything else, as we'll see in Chapter 19, you demonstrate your values in your behavior. Your children watch you and strive to emulate the values that you not only teach and preach, but also practice. And they are always watching. The Rockefeller family children were famous for being taught financial values at an early age. Even though their father was one of the richest men in America, the children were given tasks and chores to perform before they received their allowances. They were then instructed on how to spend their allowances, how to save, how much to give to charity, and how much to invest. As a result, they grew up to become successful businessmen and statesmen, unlike children who had grown up in wealthy homes who were seldom disciplined in money matters. Study the values you admire. You learn values by studying them closely. The law of concentration says that whatever you dwell upon grows and increases in your life. What this means is that when you study and read stories about men and women who demonstrated the kind of values that you admire and respect, and then think about those stories and that behavior, those values sink ever deeper into your mind. Once these values are programmed into your subconscious, they create a propensity within you to behave consistently with those values when the situation requires them. For example, in military training, soldiers are continually told stories of courage, obedience, discipline, and the importance of supporting their fellow soldiers. The more they hear these stories, discuss them, and think about them, the more likely they are to behave consistently with these values when they're under the pressure of actual combat. The core value or virtue of character is truth. Whenever you tell the truth, however inconvenient it may be at the time, you feel better about yourself and you earn the respect of the people around you. One of the highest accolades you can pay another person is to say that he or she always tells the truth. Emulate the people you most admire. Much of your character is determined by the people you most admire, both living and dead. Who are they? Looking over your life and history, make a list of the people whom you most admire, and next to their names, write out the virtues or values that they most represent to you. If you could spend an afternoon with anyone, living or dead, what one person would you choose? Why would you choose that person? What would you talk about during your afternoon together? What questions would you ask, and what would you want to learn? Consider this as well. Why would that person want to spend an afternoon with you? What are the virtues and values that you have developed that make you a valuable and interesting person? What makes you special? Practice the values you respect. You develop values by practicing them whenever they are called for. As the Roman Stoic philosopher Epictetus said, "Circumstances do not make the man, they merely reveal him to himself." When a problem occurs, people tend to react automatically based on the highest values that they have developed up to that moment. We develop values by repetition, by behaving consistently with a particular value over and over again until it becomes a habit and locks in so that we come to practice it automatically. Men and women with highly developed characters behave in a manner consistent with their highest values, and they do so without thought or hesitation. There's no question in their minds about whether or not they are doing the right thing. The structure of personality. The psychology of character involves the three parts of your personality: your self-ideal, your self-image, and your self-esteem. Your self-ideal is that part of your mind composed of your values, virtues, ideals, goals, aspirations, and your idea of the very best person that you could possibly be. In other words, your self-ideal is composed of those values that you most admire in others and most aspire to possess in yourself. The most important part of your self-ideal is summarized in the word clarity. Superior people are those who are absolutely clear about who they are and what they believe. They have complete clarity about the values they believe in and what they stand for. They are not confused or indecisive. They are firm and resolute when it comes to any decision in which a value is involved. On the other hand, weak and irresolute people are fuzzy and unclear about their values. They have only a vague notion of what is right or wrong in any situation. As a result, they take the path of least resistance and act expediently. They do whatever seems to be the fastest and easiest thing to get what they want in the short term, giving little or no consideration or concern about the consequences of their acts. The evolution of character. In biology, life forms are categorized from the least to the most complex, from single-celled plankton all the way up to the increasingly complex spectrum of life to the human being. Similarly, human beings can be organized along a spectrum as well, from the least to the most developed. The lowest forms of humans are those with no values, virtues, or character. These people always act expediently and take the path of least resistance in their search for immediate gratification. At the highest